I want to once again say something. When we go after the subject of the wicked one, and he is the wicked one, he is Satan, capital S, a real individual, we do not just set our sights on him, we have Christ. Those of us who have named his name, we have trusted him. We can rejoice in this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Please listen carefully. Satan, if you are a Christian, cannot do anything to you unless you let him. Are you listening? Now, for instance, a week ago, right now, we were looking at the soils in this. In Jeremiah 4:3, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And we said, I gave you a challenge, a 10-day challenge. I based that on the book of Daniel, when Daniel went to those that were in leadership there in Babylon and said, listen, give us 10 days to just eat vegetables and we'll show you what God can do in 10 days. I challenged you on that. Give yourself to God 10 days. Surrender the ground. Surrender to a new farmer. Surrender to the plow. And surrender to the plan. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm wondering, those of you that raised your hands last Sunday and you said, you know what, I'm going to do just that. If you had a challenge with that, you're going to see the reason this morning. A major part of it, I should say. So please, as we look at the Word of God about the wicked one, and for those of you that might have doubt, let me tell you something. The headlines of papers around the world are screaming, prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. What is going on now was written in this book. There is coming the new world order, this book predicted. There is coming the new one world church, this Bible speaks of. There is coming the one world government, ditto. And things are starting to line up. And I would beg of you, if you don't know Christ as Savior, there is something that you need to get taken care of this day. I cannot say that any more forcefully. I beg of you. Please, and if you are a Christian that has given place to the devil, you have got to hear this morning. I'm tired of seeing the casualties, the people that give up, those that wind up just kind of casting off restraint. They just aren't going to have somebody tell them what to do anymore, and ultimately, that is God. Please don't do that. In John 12:31. Satan is called the prince of this world, and that is exactly who he is. My soul, why do you think that Satan is so involved in things, for instance, like entertainment? You say, well, they were just kidding around. Why is it that when entertainment people in America and around the world, they're throwing themselves open to the devil? Oh, they make it look fun. Like at the war awards thing. I forget what it is. I care less, quite honestly. They're all wearing the glowing horns. I'm telling you, for decades, we've had a situation where Satan has been lifted up. Why do you think modern music for so long has sung about the devil? About, you know, highway to hell. And all and on. And I didn't even want to start getting into that. Please, Satan is nobody to be trifled with. And I'll guarantee you there are people here that have trifled with him. Through discouragement, through despondency, through despair, Christians wind up opening themselves up to what the devil can do to them. I am challenging you this morning, not only to continue a 10-day giving of yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am challenging you this morning to resist the devil and draw nigh to God. Because the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. You can't have anything better. Now, let's get into the Word of God. We've seen, first of all, in the last several Sunday nights, how Satan comes. Number one, he comes as a, write it down, a disputer. He comes as a disputer. What is his target? His target is this. His target is your heart and your conscience. He comes as a disputer. His target is your heart and your conscience. What is his weapon? Accusation. Revelation 12:10. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren. This is what he does, folks. He comes to you, Christian, and he says, come on, go ahead, do it. You can get away with that. And so what do you wind up doing? You do it. And then he comes back at you and says, you'll never get away with that. And then what takes place? You get discouraged. You get discouraged, and the next thing you know, you're just well nigh giving up. What is our defense? The interceding Christ. The interceding Christ. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That Greek word that translates their advocate is the same Greek word that Jesus used in John 14 and John 16 that translates comforter. It means somebody literally coming alongside. Coming alongside. Number two. He comes as a deceiver. We saw that he comes as a deceiver. What's his target? His target, listen, is your belief system. Your belief system. Are you listening? I want everybody listening this morning. I want everybody listening based on the authority of the Word of God. I want you to hear, not for my sake, but for yours. What do we have? What do we have? His target, your belief system, his weapon is his lies. John 8:44. Jesus looked at the religious rulers and said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why? Because he's a liar and the father of it. That is what you need to be understanding. He comes as a deceiver. What is our defense? The Word of God. The truth. And that's what we need to listen to. That's why Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's telling people how should live. For reproof, that's coming and telling you, you know what, you're going the wrong way. What else? He says, hey, listen, for correction. He says, this is how you turn around and go the right way. And instruction in righteousness. This is how you stay going the right way. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly perfect, all good works. Listen, are you tired of seeing people burned to death? Or just like last night in Copenhagen, where once again people are shot? How about around this nation, where people are being killed? You know why they'll take the Second Amendment away from us? For this reason, we just can't trust people anymore. Too many people are getting shot. Listen, the problem is not the gun, the problem's in the heart. We've said no to God and yes to flesh, and guess what is happening to America? We have deteriorated to the point, and just like I've said so many times from this pulpit, William Penn nailed it. If we will not be governed by God, we must be governed by tyrants. That's why this young man right here has the job that he has. Because there are people that are locked up in prison. That's why we wind up having police officers. That's why we wind up having locks on our doors. Why? Because people are wicked and it's going down more and more and more. My soul, we've got 10 cameras around here now. 10 cameras. Partly for our safety, just being able to say, hey, listen, that didn't take place here. But also, listen, I've gotten on those cameras. I was watching a guy on the cameras while he was stealing one of our cameras. We had to go and replace 4 of them. crazy. He comes as a deceiver. What do we need to remember? What must we remember? James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Please listen to this next phrase. Deceiving your own selves. You know who the easiest person is in the world to lie to? Yourself. Yourself. I'm doing fine. I'm great. No problem. You're lying. You drop dead lying. And you know you're lying. But you're never going to turn around and accuse yourself. Listen, that's why the Word of God needs to come to you and say, hey, you know what? There's a problem here. There's a problem here. Number three, please write this down. He comes as a destroyer. He comes as a destroyer. What is his target? Your body and your patience. There are people here that have physical challenges. You know, physical challenges can wear you down. We've had people get sick. Oh, mercy. I hate being sick. I mean, you know, when I get sick, it gets miserable. How many of you get really miserable when you get sick? And you find out that, you know, while you're sick, people don't want to hang around you much because you get miserable. See? Hey, what's his weapon? His weapon is suffering. And he's been allowed to do that with people sometimes. One time he did it with the Apostle Paul. We're not sure exactly what it was, but we know from the wording it was painful. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12. Because our defense, write this down, is the grace of God. The grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness, in weakness. Paul's response was this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's not easy suffering. It is not. As soon as I wake up, I know this. I've got a bionic knee. Why? Because the old one that blown out in football got operated on, and it just deteriorated. I'm so glad. I was talking to this brother right here. I'm rejoicing. When we get to heaven, there's going to be two things that are going to happen. Number one, God's people in the rapture, beep, to heaven. Glory! That is great! We're going to be with Him forever! But it's going to be interesting what you hear on earth. Thud, crack, thump. As hips and knees, false teeth hit the ground, you know, a glass eye. All the people are looking around and there's stuff rolling around on the ground. It's like, what in the world happened here? See, you get to leave that false leg behind, brother. Somebody look at me. Somebody lost something here. Hey, anybody looking for a leg? You know? Hey, I praise God. I praise God we're going to be whole one day. But while we're here on earth, in the nasty now and now, this is what we must remember. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After all, David, the great psalmist, wrote this in Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Why? Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You suffer, guess what? You go to the Word of God. Lord, I need help. He says, hey, here's all the help you need. Now we're here this morning. Please write this down. He comes as a dictator. Satan comes, and guess what? He wants to tell you what to do. He wants to tell God's people what to do. What's his target? Write it down. Your will. You see, that's the challenge that you have when you're given a challenge. You get up the next day, and your will says, I don't feel like it. Now you see, you know, you can always blame Satan. Who was that guy a long time ago, Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. No, you chose. Now Satan can come, and he can influence, but the choice was yours. We have a classic example of that. If you ask, if you think, you know, what was David's, King David, what was his greatest sin? Some people would say, well, you know, actually, I think it was, you know, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband murdered, Uriah, you know. No. Wait a minute. When that took place, there were several other people, I think, in battle that shouldn't, that would not have died. They died, but we have recorded in the Bible four people that died because of that sin. But I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Look at verse 1. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We don't know why this took place. And he moved David against them to say, now, God does not tempt anybody, but he'll use Satan to do something. Go number Israel and Judah. This was something that the kings of Israel were not supposed to do, because they were not to trust in numbers. They were to trust in God. Even Joab, who was David's general, as it were, resisted, said, no, don't. You know, the Lord make His people, you know, just grow and prosper like crazy. No, you go out. I want you to get them numbered. And then afterwards, David, his conscience smote him. We read about in 1 Chronicles 21 that it was Satan that came and moved. The Lord used Satan to accomplish this. But let's remember something. When David sinned against Bathsheba, and for months he went on like no problem, he said, I have sinned before Nathan the prophet. But when he sinned here, he says, I have sinned greatly. You know how many people died in the pestilence because of this? 70,000. Now this is what we stopped and this is what we consider here. I haven't taken the time to go through some of that scripture. You look at it, 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21. Read that. But this is what happened here. Satan's goal was to get a hold of David's will. His goal is to get a hold of your will as well and control it. With Eve, he deceived the mind, her mind. You shall be as gods. Or with Job, he attacked the body. But with David, he went straight to the will. And that is exactly what he does with us. We must never, never underestimate the importance of the will in the Christian life. Listen, too many believers have an intellectual religion. It's all up here that satisfies the mind, but never changes the life. It never changes the life. Listen, when you come before a holy God, you will change. But if you get this, and all it does is go up here, and there's no change, friend, listen to me, you don't have salvation. I'm not talking about a works religion. Let me ask you this, in all seriousness. What has changed in the last year? What changed in 2024 in your life that you can directly attribute to what you learned from God out of His Word? What the Holy Spirit did in your heart. If you can't think of anything, if there has not been any growth, would you please check out your salvation? Please check it out. Why? So I can use it as a number? No! Because eternity is coming. Listen, I heard men preach in pulpits, and you know what? They preach their messages. and they were living in adultery. A man that I knew, that was a good friend, I had no idea, was preaching and teaching while being a practicing homosexual. And now he's cast the entire thing off. Satan is slick. This subject right here is where any preacher that has gone into the Word and studied it gets concerned. Because if you have a concern for souls, just like yours, if you have a concern for people's eternal destiny, you get serious, you get sober-minded when you're opening up the Word of God and saying, listen, thus saith the Lord. Your enemy that wants you, that wants your children, that wants your marriage, that wants this nation, that wants the world, your enemy will do anything and everything he can to get a hold of your heart, your will, so that you do things his way. Don't you ever forget it. And if you decide that you're going to cast that off, I want you to remember something. You heard it here. You heard truth here. Based on God's Word. I want you to go to Romans 6. Please, go to Romans 6. Other Christians have an emotional religion. It's made up of changing feelings. You know, I'm happy. Why are you happy? I don't know, but I'm feeling good. That's not true biblical Christianity. That is not true biblical Christianity. See, the challenge is, unless they're on an emotional high, some people feel that God has forsaken them. There is a Greek word for that. Wrong-o. You know, I heard a guy say one time, I don't feel saved until my second cup of coffee in the morning. Some, you know, I'm getting to the point. Listen, you think it's bad when I'm in February and I'm talking about Thanksgiving. Just wait till I get up. It gets bad. It gets bad. How many of you have a bad memory? How many of you can't remember if you do or not? Okay, see, my memory, you know, it's just going like that. Listen, God wants the whole of the inner man to be devoted to Him. Write this down. God wants the whole of the inner man to be devoted to Him. An intelligent mind, that's knowledge. A fervent heart, that's conviction. And an obedient will. You know this passage. We've been here often. We're going again. Romans 6, please listen. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. You might be a born-again Christian. You might truly, honestly know the Lord. But you know there's a possibility that sometime this last week you were a servant of the devil? That's the truth, folks. That's the drop-dead truth. And that's sad. That's sad. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But watch this. But God be thanked, not your will, but God be thanked, that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, seeing you've been set free, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was given you. See, true biblical Christianity goes from the head to the heart to the hand. You learn the doctrine. You hear it and you are convinced by it. This is truth. And you live it out in Christ. It goes from the head to the heart to the hand. But you know how many husbands, hey, it's Valentine's. You know how many husbands wind up treating their wives roughly and not understanding that they are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Hello? Seriously? Come on, guys, listen, you know. Well, she just needs to listen to me. No, you need to listen to God. You listen to God and she'll listen to you. The Christian life, listen. The Christian life is basically a matter of the will. It started with the will. I will trust Him. According to the Lord, in three passages of the Gospels, quoting the law, we are to, first of all, love the Lord with all our heart. That's the emotions, our mind, that's the intellect, and our strength. That is the will. That means this. You know something? We ought to pray even if we don't feel like it. And in fact, if we don't feel like it, that shows we need to pray. Then we ought to obey even if we don't feel like it. We ought to do that. The believer who lives on his emotions is repeatedly up and down. See, just like that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James tells us in James chapter 1. The believer who lives on the basis of quote-unquote spiritual willpower has a consistent Christian life. Spiritual willpower. I am going to do what's right based not on my power, but on what I read and the understanding that I possess the Holy Spirit because I have trusted Christ as my Savior. Your will is important because it determines your character. Your will is important because your will helps to determine your character. Listen, decisions mold character. You are what you have been becoming. There was a time you were wicked, living in sin, and then you trusted Christ, and the Word of God started working in you, and based on the truth of God's Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you started changing. I'm not going to watch that television program anymore. I'm not going to listen to that dirty joke. I am going to do this. I'm going to do that. I will give the gospel. Look, people that don't have the gospel, they're just going on, just figuring. Fellow that I witnessed to this just yesterday out here that had the cat that's trying to get this ground leveled out back here. I asked him, listen, if you died right now, where would you go, Eric? Now, you got to admit, that's a good question. He says, well, I think I'd go to heaven. Well, how do you know? Well, you know, because I've been a pretty good guy. See, the vast majority of people think that it has been, you know, it's just decisions that I make here and there. No, the first and great decision you need to make is, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. Because I can't save myself. Decisions mold character. And decisions chart the direction of your life. You are what you have been becoming. You may want to blame circumstances or feelings or even other people, but that's just an excuse. You made a choice. It is the will that must direct the life. And the sad thing is, Satan has been successful at minimizing the will. He gets somebody that actually names the name of Christ to sing a song. It must be good if it feels so right. It can't be wrong, excuse me, if it feels so right. That's garbage. That is absolute trash. That is straight out of the pit of hell. I don't care how much that person names the name of Jesus. That is false doctrine. You were saved by saying, I will. Now when you respond to God and you grow in Him, you start saying this, Thy will. Thy will be done. You know, we're commanded to love one another. God can't command your feelings. He has every right to command your will. Christian love simply means that we treat each other the way God treats us. And that involves the will. No wonder Satan wants to minimize it. You know, there's believers that I love. I really do. But I'm not going to take them on vacation with me. But with the Spirit's help, I can love them like Christ loves the church. I want you to go to Isaiah 14. Please, Isaiah chapter 14. You want to see how Satan will get you to talking? All we have to do is listen to how he talks. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and you will read five times this, I will. Hey, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan wants you to do. Not thy will. I will. That's called sin. It started out that way and it continues to this day. What's his weapon? What's his weapon? Write this down in your notes. Blank there. What's his weapon? Listen. Pride. Just like maybe somebody's sitting there going, preacher, you're not going to tell me what to do. Guess what? I'm not telling you what to do. God is. The one that created you. By the way, the one that died on the cross. You see, there is where our pride comes in. You're not going to tell me what to do. Again, I'm not. You see, this is what Satan said to Eve. Ye shall be as gods. Folks, it's really easy to see. It's not that hard to see. The MO has not changed. The modus operandi is there. All you have to do is just say, I will. And you've joined the club. Except there's one problem. That will damn you. I'm not saying if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I mean. But mankind, separated from God, said, you know what? I will. I'm a nice guy. I don't kick the dog. I treat people halfway decently. I pay my taxes. I pay my bills. And you know, that's good. I'm glad for that. Except there's one problem. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen. We need to understand this. We're sinners. We have a pride problem. Even Christians. David's problem was pride. I want to look good. I want to see how many fighting men that I've got. That's not what you want. Remember this. 1 Peter 5:5. Peter said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We're catching him in mid-thought. But he says this, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So this is what he says, verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up. Look, this world is not our home. There are people, they get wrapped up in things, that's their pride. That's what we want. I want good looking, I want great stuff. I just replaced my Dodge pickup. Some of you know that. I bought a 6-year-old, a used truck. It's got 84,000 miles on it, but I like it. Finally got my crew cab and my Hemi. And so I'm here at church yesterday. I just had the truck a little bit, and I came out here and had just gotten the truck washed, looking good. I get home. Somebody put white paint on the street, and my tire caught it. When I got out of the truck, white paint was sprayed over the driver's side of the truck. You know what? I can honestly say this before God and before you. It didn't bother me. It's just stuff, folks. It's just stuff. I took a credit card out. I started, knocking it off. I got almost all of it. But folks, it's just stuff. Because your vehicle and my vehicle are slowly rusting away right now anyway. And your house and my house is slowly getting older. And for that matter, your body and my body are doing the same thing as well. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. See? Now, I used to work for a guy. His youngest brother was into, I'm going to do custom cars. And I mean, he wasted so much of the family's money, custom cars. So one day his brothers went out and bought him a 58 Plymouth that he was going to customize. And they put it on a lot over, we were building some homes in Martinez. I got there on the job site, they had said, we want you to clear away the, all the weeds off of these lots. We're going to come in, we're going to start putting the foundations. So I got up there and I said, I don't believe it. Somebody has put the carcass of a 58 Plymouth here. I know what I'm going to do. And I took that 5-ton Massey Ferguson 30B with a 3/4-yard front loader and a Gannon box, and I destroyed that 58 Plymouth. It was so much fun. And you know what? I didn't get fired. You know why? Because I think secretly the brothers were rejoicing that what the youngest brother took so much pride into, somebody came along and just absolutely mangled. It really was fun. And for those of you that say, oh, I'd never do that, how many of you have ever watched Destruction Derby? Listen. Satan's purpose is to make you independent of God's will. Now please hear that. Satan's purpose is to get you independent of God's will. People come into churches Sunday after Sunday, not with the attitude, Lord, thy will be done, but with this attitude, I'll consider it. I'll consider it. And therein is the reason why some, after hearing a challenge about submitting to the plow and submitting to the plan, later on said, well, you know what? I just don't think it's really all that big of a deal. You know why? Because this is the lie you're operating on. Ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You will determine what is good and what is evil. And if it suits me, that's good. But if it doesn't suit me, even though God wants me to do it, well, you know what? That's evil. That's not for me. And that's why Christians are absolutely falling left and right, professing Christians in their Christian life, because they're still listening to the lie. Oh, they've trusted Christ. They really believe that the Lord saves them. But when it comes to the rest of their life, they're still listening to the wicked one. Ye shall be as gods. You can do this, you can do that. You know, you can make this decision in your life. Did you pray about it? We tease. Back when I was in high school, my mom is in the nursery right now. She'd love to hear this again. This was great. We went out. I wanted to buy a motorcycle. I think I was in 11th grade. I was looking at a Honda 175. I wanted to buy a motorcycle. You know what we came back with that night? A Chrysler New Yorker. Now, we left in a perfectly good brown 64 four-door Chevy Impala with a 327 and a four-barrel carburetor with dual exhaust. I'm not saying that it was a hot rod, but I enjoyed it. But we went out to look at a motorcycle. We came back with a 440. You know, 3 gallons to the mile. And we drove up. And my mom looked at my dad and said, did you pray about this? And he said, no, but I'm praying now. You know, it's a little too late to pray after you have not only made the decision with your will, but now you're up to here in the consequences. Make the choice, the right choice, first. Satan comes as a dictator. What's our defense? Let me tell you what it is. It's the indwelling Spirit of God. The indwelling Spirit of God. Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That doesn't mean that you come up with your own salvation, but the salvation that Christ has placed within you. You're a new creature in Christ. Now you learn to live it, to work it out. And that takes place with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that worketh in you. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Remember, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride might be something that a conservative commentator on the radio takes pride in, but he'll find out one day that it was to his damnation standing before God. I pray that some of these people that are on radio come to know Christ, but with their pride they won't do it. And even people, men in the pulpit, that by their pride seek to build a church, I'm sorry, if it's built on that, it'll crash and burn, as we have seen churches across America do. What is it that we need? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up. And when you humble yourself, you are coming, not with my will, but Lord, be done on earth, right here, as it is in heaven. He comes seeking your will. Don't let Him do it. Let's pray.